Knock, knock. A bit louder. Knock, knock. Epaphras. Sorry, I'm actually not allowed to finish that joke. This is my second time giving a sermon. This morning was my first. I was given a book on how to prepare a sermon, and it dictates that I cannot tell jokes. It says, and I quote, "Don't open with a joke." Most jokes aren't that funny. You need to be very careful about starting with a joke because it might fall flat. So if I lost you there, sorry. We'll pick back up. But I really like your enthusiasm about learning who Epaphras was, and we'll circle back to him soon. Hi, everyone. My name is Andrew. I usually go to this service. So if we haven't met yet, I'm really looking forward to that sometime in the near future. And if we have met, thanks for bearing with me today because, as you know, giving a sermon is not my day job. I spend most of my time each week behind a computer working with the railways in Sydney and down here at local council in Wollondilly. Today we're continuing in Colossians. It was a letter written about 2,000 years ago, but as we can see it very clearly here today, it speaks to us here in Picton and Wilton. Thanks to Jai for reading the passage so faithfully. Now, in the past, I've had the privilege of attending the youth Bible study here with youth group on the odd occasion and seeing the challenges faced by some in understanding the passage. Not this passage, but any passage, really. Using Google to define words and interpret some of the passages, maybe even AI. And if you bear with me, I have rewritten the passage in the contemporary New Andrew version in an attempt to be inclusive to the younger segment of our congregation here today. What I've written has been verified by the target audience. On a Friday afternoon, it's not uncommon for us to have a couple of kids at our house before youth group for dinner. I did run it past one of them. And although my grammar may need improving, apparently it's a good message and understandable. And as a father of teen boys, I take that as a win. So the other thing I learnt in preparing this is that ministers have a... another disciplining technique on their kids that most people don't. And I'm sure that the words, "If you keep that up, you'll be in my sermon this week," have been uttered once or twice. So, bear with me, here I go. Like, have you heard about this chilled Jesus, his aura and how he gains? No cap, it's legit going viral, fully global and actually changing lives everywhere. Same with you when it clicked how real God's grace is. You heard it from Epaphras, our guy, not some out-of-touch boomer. He didn't cap. He bought the truth and he showed you what real love looks like. Since then, we've been praying that you don't stay mid, but actually level up. Like fully understand what God wants for you in your life. With proper savvy Christianese street smarts and stuff. Live in a way that reps him right. Doing good and growing in your Christianese and getting closer to God. When life gets tough, don't fold. God will give you the strength to push through. Stay chill and keep your joy up. Don't forget to be grateful. God rescued you from the dark, which is so buns, and he brought you into Jesus' turf, the goat, where you're forgiven, cleaned up and set free. Show of hands, please, if anyone understood anything I just said. We got a couple. It's a win over this morning. This morning, one of the guys that was sitting in the audience, he didn't put his hand up. He's a bit shy, like these guys down here, I think. And then afterwards, he came up and said, "Yeah, I understood everything you said." And I had a win because one of the school teachers said, "Yeah, I knew what you were saying." But even though the language changes, the message hasn't. The gospel translates across every culture and every generation. Now let me continue in hopefully a more socially acceptable and widely understood generic English. This letter is from Paul and Timothy to a church in Colossae. It is written because Paul has heard that there are some issues with some false teachings creeping in. And the letter does two things. It reminds them who Jesus really is, and it shows them what a life following Jesus should actually look like. To help us understand the context of where the passage fits into the Bible, I've prepared a couple of slides, which Harry will help me with. The first slide here, we see Paul in chains, writing his letter with the help of Timothy, and you can see the chains there and the Roman guard. It's probably like a house arrest type of thing, sort of just trying to paint a picture of what it might have been looked like. Potentially Epaphras was there, not quite sure. The second slide, Harry, gives us a bit of a timeline. I can't actually read that from here, but basically on the left is like the beginning of time sort of thing, and then on the right-hand side, which is right, is Jesus' ascension and the fall of Jerusalem. This particular letter was written in about 62 AD. It was written about 5 years after Paul's third missionary journey. And there I said to AI, can you draw me a picture of Epaphras writing the teaching the home church in Colossae? And it just did that. And apparently that may not be true. So there's a warning for you using AI. Don't take it as gospel. The third slide is like a bit of a fly through. It didn't really work on the screens here, but starts at Wilton, flies out over the Philippines, goes to Italy and into Rome, where Paul's imprisoned in a home church, in a home prison there, with potentially Epaphras as well. We fly over, we go to near Turkey, and we zoom in to the church in Ephesians, the Ephesus church, where Epaphras met Paul on his third missionary journey and then took it to Colossae. And this is where our home church will pick up. So, Harry, the fourth slide would be a slide of the home church, what it may have looked like, give you a bit of an idea of a home church in Colossae back in that day. Basically a mud hut type of thing, with someone reading the scroll that Paul and Timothy have written. A few people there with their families and things. And then the last slide is my 3 points that we will continue on with, and then we'll leave that one up. Thanks, Harry. As we look at this passage, there are three things I want us to see. First, the gospel keeps spreading. Second, Paul's prayer for them that their lifelong learning is an exercise in humility. And third, that we're called to live a life worthy of the Lord. So if you join me in prayer. Father God, here we are some 2,000 years after this letter was written, and your word is still being proclaimed. We pray that today you would help us to hear it clearly, understand it, and take it to heart. And I pray that the words that I speak would be faithful to your word. Amen. So first up, first point, the gospel is spreading. The good news about Jesus didn't stop in the first century, and it hasn't stopped today. At some point, someone told you about Jesus, and that means you're part of the same story. Paul says that the gospel is growing and bearing fruit all over the world. And when you think about it, here we are, 2,000 years later, like I said, in Picton and Wilton, and the exact same thing is happening. In Colossians 1, 6 and 7, we read, in the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ Jesus on our behalf. And if you replace the name Epaphras with the person who first told you about Jesus, this passage could almost be written about any one of us. The passage starts off with a global view of the church and then really focuses in on one individual, Epaphras. The good news is being spread and bearing good fruit, or fruit. And what is fruit here? Good fruit is a real life impacted from a transformed life in the individuals. And a church that is actually living out its faith and seeing members of the community that it serves going to heaven. I saw this really clearly on a recent field trip to the Philippines with Compassion. We visited four churches. And even though the language and culture were a bit different, maybe even sometimes as foreign as my young people's slang attempt, the core message was exactly the same. People singing about Jesus, hearing God's word, encouraging one another to live for him, feeding and tending for God's lambs and sheep. Well, one of the churches that we went to on Sunday morning started off with some Hillsong worship music. It was quite exciting, and the band was up playing, and then they moved to older hymns and put the CD on. It was a sermon, and the sermon was shaped by their history in the Philippines and their culture and their teaching. But at the centre of it all, Christ was being proclaimed. And it really struck me. Even after travelling thousands of kilometres and for days from Wilton, we weren't in something different. We were part of the same church. So what does that mean for us here today? If the gospel has been passed on to us, we are now part of passing it on. And also, don't just take what is said up the front as automatically true. Open the Bible yourself. Read it. Think about it. Ask questions of more long-term Christians. And use tools on the internet to help understand it. Second, learning is an exercise in humility. The Christian life isn't about arriving. It's about continually growing. In Colossians 9 and 10, Paul writes, "We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God." Paul prays that the church would be filled with knowledge, not just information, but real understanding shaped by the Spirit. And we see that in this Epaphras. He learned the gospel. He shared the gospel. And when things got difficult, spiritually difficult, and we can read they also got physically difficult, in Philemon 1:23, "Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Jesus Christ, sends you his greetings." This is Paul to the church in Colossae. To Philemon, sorry. Epaphras didn't pretend to have all of the answers. He went to Paul for help, for guidance. And that's humility. It's a reminder that growing as a Christian means being willing to keep learning and to keep growing in Christ. So let me ask, are you actually growing? Or have you just stayed at the same level for weeks, years, or even decades? Growth takes effort. It takes humility, and it means being open to being taught and corrected. Perhaps you could start with Colossians this week. Read a few verses a day. Talk to someone after church. Ask, how are you growing? Join a Bible study. I've been attending the Taste and See event that's been running. I can recommend it as a good place for newcomers to ask questions. I believe that it'll be followed up by a Christianity Explore course, which I can also personally recommend. And if all that fails, you can obviously ask Ben or Scott, and I'm sure they'll point you in the right direction. This isn't about being better people. This is about what Jesus has already done for us in rescuing us, forgiving us, and bringing us into his kingdom. Through his victory over darkness, by his death on the cross. This growth isn't just about knowledge. It's also about character, as the Spirit corrects you and rebukes you to make you more like Christ each day. Third, God gives us strength to keep going. And that leads to a life marked by gratitude. In Colossians 11 and 12 we are being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. This isn't physical strength, it's the strength to endure, to keep trusting in God when life is hard, to be patient with people, to stay steady. And it leads to gratitude, not because life is easy, but because of what God has already done. He has qualified us, not because we earned it, but because of his grace. We are part of his kingdom of light. On our compassion trip, we heard from a young man who had grown up in poverty and is now serving in his church in a similar fashion to what his Christian mentors had done before. He said something that really struck me. Even though his practical needs were met through the financial giving of compassion, which is not very much, it's basically a bag of rice a week, a school backpack and some books and things, it was his faith in God that gave him the strength through the hardest times. It was the hope that he found in the letters that the people that were sponsoring him wrote that got him through those difficult times. Now, I deliberately kept that light to keep from getting emotional because it's still a little bit raw. But that's exactly what this passage is talking about. This week in Alice Springs, we've seen some horrific events unfold, terrible examples of what the world produces when sin, pain, and anger take over. Colossians reminds us of what the gospel produces instead, and invites us to be part of that. So when life is hard, and it will be, or when life is comfortable, and it may be, where do you go? Do you try to carry it yourself and lean on your own understanding? Or do you bring it to Jesus and actually give thanks for what he has already done? So as I finish up today, the gospel is still spreading. We're called to keep growing, and God gives us the strength to live lives that honour him. And the incredible thing is that we are called to be part of that story. If you've received the gospel, the question is, are you passing it on? Are you growing? Are you relying on his strength or on your own strength? So please pray as I finish. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you that it still speaks to us today. Please help us to grow in our knowledge of you and to live lives worthy of you, to rely on your strength each day. Help us to share the good news of Jesus with those around us and to bear good fruit in your name. Amen. Thank you.